This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive.
Health and wellness on Joy Drive.
Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, yesterday was Stop Food Waste Day. Are we wasting lots of food?
We are indeed. So it was an international day to make people stop and think about what they can do. And I think the good news about this one is that if you stop food waste, you don't actually have to change your diet to make a significant contribution to changing, you know, greenhouse gas emissions.
That's really simple. So because I immediately, when I thought, oh goodness, if I want to save the planet, which I do want to do, I'm going to have to make significant changes to what I do. But you're saying you don't necessarily have to. That's the first step.
That's right. And it will actually save you money. So currently we know that the average Australian household throws out about $2,500 of food every year.
$2,500?
Yep, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's a lot of money. Whichever way you look at it, that's a good holiday.
Exactly.
You know, it's a lot of things for a lot of people. So, and the bonus is that you get to stop, you know, the greenhouse gas emissions. And that's the problem. When we throw out food, not only are we wasting all the resources that go into making that food, but if we throw it out into our rubbish bins and it goes into landfill, it actually produces methane in the landfill as opposed to putting it into your green organic recycling bin.
Oh, wow. Now, so, Venture, do we know on average? I mean, I know, I'll be totally honest with you, I do throw out a bit of food, but do we know on average how much people do throw out?
Well, it's sort of about a quarter of what they purchase.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's quite a lot.
It's a lot, it isn't. I mean, and likewise in our household, we don't throw out a lot of food either. So someone's making up for us too, Warren, and throwing out a bit more than $2,500 a year.
What's the most stuff that's thrown out though, Evangeline? Is it pre-packaged stuff or?
Yeah, look, the top five foods that are wasted in Australia are vegetables, bread, fruit, bagged salad, and just general leftovers.
That's really interesting because I have to think the one thing that I do tend to throw out is the bagged spinach. I always walk past it. It's the first thing in the supermarket that I go to that you walk past. And I think, you know what, yep. I'll have some of that. I'll make up an omelette. I'll do whatever with it. And sure enough, that's always the thing that goes sort of soggy and slimy first.
Absolutely. So there's a couple of things you can do with that. The first thing to reduce the sloppiness and the sogginess of it is to put paper towel in it, and that absorbs any moisture that condenses out. But secondly, if you've had it in your fridge for a couple of days and not used it, we put it in the freezer and then include it in stews and casseroles and cooked dishes. So you know that casserole that you have that is going the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah. The weekly
well,
one.
The weekly one. You could add frozen spinach into that.
Oh, that's a great idea. So freezing it doesn't necessarily kill the benefits of the spinach.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it changes the structure. So you can't put it into a salad because it just doesn't work. But into a cooked meal, it's really, really good. So, you know, there's lots and lots of things people can do. But one thing that we didn't mention at the beginning, and I think this will really show people how big an effect that food waste has on greenhouse gases. So if we remember, greenhouse gases are carbon dioxide, the methane, and the nitrous oxide. And what they do is they absorb heat and contribute to the climate, you know, the heating of the planet. But if food waste was defined as a country, you know, if we said we called it a country, it would be the third biggest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world.
That's really interesting. So, and we know that, you know, we hear about coal-fired power and our transport emissions and all these obvious things, but we don't, I suppose, food, because we're consuming it at an individual level, aren't we? We don't necessarily, you know, extrapolate it up to the bigger picture, but that's amazing. So the third biggest emitter.
Yes, after the US and China.
Wow. What can we really do to reduce the amount of food we waste?
Yeah, look, the first thing is trying to think about how much do you actually need. You know, being realistic, if you go, well, I normally buy this and at the end of the week I throw out a quarter of it, well, buy a quarter less right from the start. Think about, okay, I plan to eat meals at home, but generally once a week I end up having a meal out or, you know, going to a friend's place or whatever it is. So be really, really realistic about what you need to buy. And then, I mean, I have certain rules in the house. It's sort of, as soon as we have any leftovers from a meal, it goes immediately into a, you know, a plastic container and frozen straight away, because I know it gets pushed to the back of the fridge, mm-hmm. and you forget about what's at the back of the fridge. And then I always package them in lunch serves, so that, you know, someone in the household can take it with them for lunch the next day. And if it's frozen, you know, it will thaw out by the time they have lunch. And if they've got a microwave, they can zap it, and, you know, and it's a fantastic meal. Then bread. So bread is another thing we throw out a lot of.
Yes.
Once again, if you've let the bread go stale, you can convert it into your own breadcrumbs and pop it into the freezer, and I always put breadcrumbs in the freezer to stop them going stale, and you know, you can just use them whenever you need them. Or you can convert bread into bread and butter pudding as we're heading into winter. I know, it's one of my favourites. I love that. So, you know, fruit, bananas, I mean, the obvious one is, you know, keeping the bananas, popping them in the freezer, using them for smoothies or banana cake or banana bread. And you can do that with other fruit as well. If you've got apples that are been there for a while, you can partially cook them and then put them in the freezer and use them for apple pie filling. So look, it's a really, I mean, I know it means a change of behavior for people, but you don't have to change your diet to help the planet, which I think is a really important thing. And people find it hard to change their diet, because we hear, you know, stop eating as much meat, and people go, oh, I love meat. Go, okay, keep eating meat, but don't throw it out. Because the other really sad thing I find is that everyone that's worked on that line to produce that food, all their effort has gone to waste.
Mm.
And I think if we think of the human aspect of it as well, you know, you start to think, well, should we really be throwing all this stuff away?
We're chatting with Dr. Evangeline Mansioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences and accredited practicing dietitian at the University of South Australia. Evangeline, before we just get on to the red meat component of helping the planet, you talk about, you know, really just buying each week how much you need. Is it better to do the weekly shop or daily things and buy smaller things? Because I find if I plan a week ahead, that's when I tend to throw more stuff out.
Yeah, look, I think it depends on the individual. You know, if you're a small household, it might make more sense to buy daily, particularly if you're going past a supermarket as you're coming in and out of work. But for other people, that's probably going to be a little bit difficult. So maybe it's, you know, getting their household together and going, okay, our mission is to reduce food waste. Let's get some ideas about how we can do it and find out the best solution to when should you do your shopping. For some people, it might be getting your food delivered from the supermarket. So you say, well, it comes on, you know, Thursday, and this is the exact amount that I'm going to order. I'm not going to be tempted by seeing that bag of spinach as I walk in, or the, you know, the chocolate bars at the counter. And so that can be a more rigid, structured way of purchasing food as well.
Okay. Now, Evangeline, we often hear that we should eat less meat, and you've told us that from a health perspective. Should we eat less for the health of the planet also?
Yeah, look, this is one of the great things, that we're, what we eat to improve our health also improves the health of the planet. And red meat is quite a significant producer of methane. And it's the red meat such as beef, lamb, goat and deer that produces the methane. And this is because those animals are ruminant and they produce methane. And if we compare it to eating pork or chicken, they're monogastric and they don't produce methane.
Oh, really?
The other thing, yeah.
So chickens don't fart?
Well, they do, but they don't smell as much.
Oh. Right, okay. There we go. You learned something to enjoy drive.
That's right. Not that I've ever, you know, gone that low to smell, but anyway. But also, pigs and chicken produce a larger number of offspring. So you get more outputs for less inputs. So, you know, it doesn't mean you need to cut out your meat. It just means, okay, let's rethink how much red meat we're going to consume. And let's just start off by saying we're going to swap one meal a week to chicken. And chicken's also a healthier meat. We know that it's going to be better off for lots of different health outcomes as well. So just making that one meal a week is a good place to start. And then if you throw another meal where you put the beans in or the lentils, and you're trying to get those number of red meat meals down, you can see by putting in beans and lentils once a week, chicken once a week, fish and pork once a week, you can get that red meat down to two or three times a week.
Fantastic. Now, something else that I've always wanted to know, sometimes I buy, very rarely, a processed meal because I think it's quick, and easy. And I don't waste anything, to be honest. You know, I eat the whole thing. There's the plastic tray, of course, which I put in the recycle bin. But is processed food making the planet better or worse?
Yeah, look, it depends on what the sort of processed food is. So if you're talking about a ready-to-eat meal that you get in a package, the inputs they put into making that are probably lower than what you might do per unit at home, because they're able to have better equipment, which conserves more energy. They may use renewable energies in their factory, all sorts of things. But I guess when I'm talking about processed food, I'm thinking more of things like, you know, potato chips, lollies, soft drinks, all those things that have a lot of packaging to them, have a lot of actual processed ingredients that go into them as well, and maybe also be transported by using refrigerated transportation. So they also use a lot of petrol and electricity for the transporting process.
Should we be worried about how far our food travels?
Oh, that's tricky, you know. It's a really tricky one, because there was a popular diet called the 100-mile diet, where people selected foods from 100 miles from their home. And that was good in principle, but then we realised that a place that makes a particular food that might be 200 miles away may use more modern technologies and less energy, because they've got better equipment, than a place that's closer to you and uses older equipment, which uses up more resources. So it's a really complicated question to answer. So for example, here in Adelaide, if I look at wine, we've got the Adelaide Hills, and there's also wine at McLaren Vale. Now, they're two different climates, and in the Adelaide Hills, it's wetter, they're more likely to get mildew, and they have to put more inputs to try to get a good wine. And they might be organic as well, but they might need more labour, more diesel, depending on the tractors they're using. So in the end, it's a combination of how far is it, but also the technologies they use. But by far we know that eating less red meat outweighs the transportation of foods.
Okay, what about producing our own food, Evangeline? Would that help?
Yeah, absolutely. And it depends, you know, it saves you money. It gets the family involved. For those that have got kids or grandchildren, it gets them learning about nature, how to, you know, where food comes from. And also, if you've got chickens, so a lot of people will say...
don't fart.
That's right, the non-farting species. you know, you can throw your food scraps out to the chickens, and then they convert it to a good protein source for you. And they also produce, you know, their droppings, I can't think of the right word now, which can be used as fertiliser as well. So, you know, they get your leftovers, you get something good out of it. It's a win-win situation. Growing fruit trees is really good. Not only do you get the fruit, but then you get the greenery, which helps to cool down your property as well. And, you know, even if you don't have a big garden, having a couple of pots of herbs will also make a difference to your hip pocket. So, you know, you're not buying that big bunch of herbs and then throwing it out. You just pick what you need as you need it. So even thinking of putting a nice big, you know, rectangular pot in your kitchen window, and you can put your favourite herbs in them and then just pick them as you need it. You know, all of that makes a difference.
Evangeline, great to chat with you. We all know what to do now, and we can do something simple by just not wasting food, or we can cut down our red meat and include more beans. Great to chat with you. We'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
Lovely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Evangeline. That's Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences and Accredited Practicing Dietitian from the University of South Australia.
You're tuned in to Joy Drive on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.